Take a vacation from your bills, pay off credit cards, and save thousands of dollars after a simple phone call to Golden Oak Lending. Visit goldenoaklending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well-qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credits stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
High noon, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's a Wednesday. It's a Celtics Wednesday, which means it's time for Pure Hoops with Terp, Justin Turpin of WEEI.com. Terp, what's up?
What's up, guys? What's going on?
Well, injuries? Any concern right now for the squad, or everybody gonna be all right?
Particularly with Jason Tatum, or
Brown? Yeah, start. Let's start with Tatum, and then go to Brown, and then I guess anybody else.
I don't think there's really any concern with Jason. It's a sprained ankle. Like, it happens all the time in basketball. He's probably had dozens of these throughout his playing career, so there's really no concern with that. And he was actually. Did you guys see he was on the Kelce Brothers podcast?
I saw the promotion for it scheduled to be on there.
Well, it's already
today.
Happened.
Dropped today. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And he was saying how he's still, you know, he's young, so it. He bounces back a little faster. So I think the one thing that kind of sucks about it is it happens right when he's playing the best basketball of his season. Like, and I'm not worried about it knocking him off his rhythm. Like, we've seen this continuously with him that he can just bounce back and slide right back in. But it's just a sprained ankle. Like, that's really all it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you see him, like, rolling around in pain, I think it enhances it a little bit, some fear there. But, I mean, he's fine. It's just a sprained ankle.
Did you think it was dirty?
I did, but it's a basketball play. I think it was more reckless than it was dirty, if that makes sense. I think there's a difference between the two. Like, he was trying to make a play in the ball, and it was just a reckless closeout. I wouldn't call it dirty, per se.
What about Jaylen Brown?
See, that's one that I'm a little bit more interested to see, because he's clearly dealing with something. Like, the Celtics put out a press release on it saying that he was going to miss a couple games with that bone bruise. And the thing is with Jaylen is I think he's really looking at this 65-game threshold. Yeah. He has to play 8 of the final 10. And when you're looking at the guys that have already been disqualified, the guys that are already ineligible, he has a legitimate chance to steal an All-NBA team here. And for him being such a prideful individual and really caring about the legacy he's leaving and all that, I think that's important to him. And I don't blame him for wanting to go all in and trying to get All-NBA this year, because this is a year he can really go and get it. And when you're talking legacies, like, that matters when you're talking about Hall of Fame or whatever it may be.
So you think he's All-NBA, Keith?
So I think you got to look through it, like Terp was saying, and of the guys that qualify or don't qualify, you're talking about 15 players, and is it still two guards, two forwards?
It's positionless now.
It's now positionless. Okay. So I knew the All-Star game, they changed it to forward, backcourt, front court.
You said earlier when we were talking about Durant, like,
I think he's going to be
you think Durant is going to be All-NBA?
I do.
So, like, Durant over Jaylen.
There's two teams, though.
No, there's three teams, but I just wonder.
He feels fringy would be my point. So, like, to play in the games and, like, quote unquote, rush it to hit that threshold. Like, I have no problem with it, but I wonder if he's going to get what he wants at the end of the day. I wonder if he even is All-NBA.
Well, just to have his name in there, I think matters. I think
it's a great honor. I think it's a good distinction. I think I always point to it when we're comparing players. Just a minute ago, we were comparing, you know, Durant and Giannis. One of the first things you look at is like All-NBAs,
and he was barely snubbed last year. Like, he almost got it last year.
Fourth team,
right. I think it does matter to what he did last year. I think there is some sort of, like, reputation that comes with winning Eastern Conference and NBA Finals MVP. I know it's not supposed to factor into this year, but seeing what he did, like, there is some sort of reputation that comes with that that might get considered, although it shouldn't, when deciding these these regular season awards. So he could definitely slide in there. I mean, he was an all-star, so when you're windling down the pool there, like, he's definitely going to get consideration. And again, with just like with who's already disqualified, and I don't have the list in front of me, but like he can definitely get an All-NBA team.
Because 65, you said, is the number. So yeah, I'm just trying to look at some of
these
guys.
There's like 10 games left, right? So if anybody else is going to rush to get there, like Jaylen, add roughly 10 to their total.
Because the first team is going to be pretty eerily similar to last year's, don't you think? It'll be Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Jokic, who are fighting for the MVP. It'll be Giannis and Tatum. And then, I mean, Luka was last year, so it won't be Luka first team, but maybe like Donovan Mitchell?
Yeah, so just a couple, like Wemby, Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving, Luka, Kawhi, Joel Embiid.
Is LeBron going to get there?
Oh, that's good. He's not listed on this list that I have right in front of me, but he has missed time here and there throughout
the
year.
He's already had 60 games played.
Okay, so LeBron will. So, but like, that is a lot of good quality players that are off the board.
It's something to shoot for, but like, I don't think they're going to...
I mean,
even
if it's third team, like all NBA stuff.
No, just
all
you
NBA.
Make it, you make it. That's great. It's a good distinction. But I'm just saying, as far as the team is concerned, and like his health is still number one,
for sure.
Most important thing.
For sure. And the benefit for them is if they're going to have two games at the end of the year against Charlotte. So they'll play Charlotte, and it's not a back to back, but they'll play them two consecutive games in the 81 and 82. So, I mean, maybe he tries to gut it out, play eight straight here, take the final 2 days off, and then. Have a couple days off between the play-in when the play-in tournaments are being played between round one. So maybe he does that, but I also think like they're obviously, and he's well aware of it too, that his health is number one priority.
Pure Hoops with Terp every Wednesday, high noon here on Jones and Keefe. Cleveland won last night. So the Celtics are back to 5 games back at Cleveland with whatever it is, 10 or so to go. Is there any realistic chance with how well they're playing and how easy the schedule is? You just detailed the two with Charlotte. There's like one real game left against Memphis. Is there any chance they can still catch Cleveland, or is that dead?
No, I think that's dead.
Cleveland's not going 5-5 or whatever.
I was starting to like look into it a little bit.
They're 6-4 over their last 10.
Yeah, they lost 4 straight last week. So I started to look at it there when they lost the 4 straight. But, I mean, they've just been so consistently dominant this year. And also, does it make sense for the Celtics to go all in when Jaylen's dealing with something? Now Jason has the sprained ankle.
Yeah, but like with their schedule, I don't even think they need to.
They don't need to go.
Well, they're obviously going to try to win every game. So if it comes naturally, it comes naturally.
Well, yeah.
And maybe if there's a push at the end, like, oh, you know, maybe this matters. Cleveland, it's only one or two games towards the end of the year. Maybe you go in for it. But like they've been perfectly fine. They've played 8 of their 12 games this month with 2 or more players of their top 6 out.
Right.
And they're 8-0 in those games. So like I said, with the schedule being what it is, they could very well just stay hot and win out and make it interesting. But I don't see Cleveland going another 4-game losing skid like they did last week anytime this season.
Any guys outside of the top 6 or even top 7 you think are making a case to maybe even play in the playoffs? Or is it just a matter of, hey, there's nobody, so somebody needs to step up right now?
I mean, the top 9 is the top 9.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's obviously the top starting 5. Then you got Al Horford, Sam Hauser, Peyton Pritchard, and Luke Kornet. Like, that's set. And that's what it's going to look like unless there's any injuries. I mean, obviously the Baylor Shireman thing's been fun. It's been a great story, but that's more for down the line.
Yeah,
like,
correct.
We'll
that's
see what
for
happens.
Like next year. There's
next
a baseline.
Year, and maybe not even next year. Like depending on the moves they make, like he's eventually going to be in the rotation and contributing, but he's not going to play in the postseason.
It is funny though. Like as great as Brad Stevens is at his job, the draft has sort of been like not applicable, right? Like, how is he doing the draft? Like, I don't know. They trade the picks. They don't have picks or they're super late picks. But you're like, if this is one of the guys that he found super late and he's like actually decent, you're like, all right, that's another feather in the cap for Brad.
The thing with that, too, is there's guaranteed money that comes with the first round pick. So when they stuck and picked Baylor Shireman at 30, I was like, well, they must see something, really something here if they're going to willing to take on the guaranteed salary. And granted, it's not much, especially when you're talking about like what Tatum and Brown make, but like it's still guaranteed money. So when they're willing to take that on, you understand that Brad sees something. And I mean, it could be huge, especially with like how tied they are to the financial restrictions and the second apron as of right now. You're going to need someone like that to contribute down the line.
So speaking of that, any developing thoughts on the Celtics sale, Wick and Pags, this new, I'm told it's Chisholm guy. I feel like
Bill
that's
Chisholm.
Not, that's
Bill
not the
Chisholm.
Way he should pronounce it. I feel like it should be Chisholm, but whatever.
Take it up with him. Right?
I feel like I don't trust anything about that guy. He's not really from the North Shore like he claims.
He like appeared out of nowhere.
Do you really pronounce your name Chisholm? That's by choice. Like Chisholm.
Call me Bill.
But, yeah, well, I was the first to do that, I think. Yeah. Any developing stance on the new owner?
I mean, he's doing all the right things right now. He's saying all the right things. It seems genuine when he talks about his fandom, when he talks about how much he loves the team. Like, it all seems really genuine. And that's all he can do right now. Time will tell what happens and how he acts when the $500 million luxury tax ends up on his desk.
I would push back on that. I wonder how genuine it is because it's so much. It's like, I watch
Super
every
fan.
Game.
Love
I
it.
Know who yep. Abby and Forsberg are. And it's like, I get my antenna up about yeah. that. I feel like you're laying it on too thick.
I don't like how much you're doing right now.
I mean, it's one way to look at it. I do think it is genuine, though. Like, listening to him talk, I mean, he really does seem excited about it. Even when they're showing the clips of him the other day, just interacting with players pre and post game, like, it really does seem like he's starstruck in a way. Like, it doesn't, like, maybe he didn't think he was going to get the bid. Like, maybe that's part of it. Maybe he's looking at it like, oh, Pags is already in house. Maybe they're just going to go right to him. I think that's what everyone thought. Hell, this guy didn't even have a Wikipedia page.
It's like, wild.
Nobody knew about
him. That is true. Billionaire coming in by the team. Now, we had the statement from Steve Pagliuca last week that we went over. You also had Wick Rosbeck's appearance on the Greg Hill Show and just trying to like make sense of what everybody said. I mean, there's really a lot in the interview that Wick had, but then just from the outside trying to read into it, you know, Pags is kind of calling out the new owner in a way. He's taking shots at like the current ownership. Like, what do you think of that whole relationship and how it's kind of spun to this spot?
I don't blame him at all for being pissed off.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been with the team since Wick came in. He was part of that big majority ownership group that bought the team.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out he was paying more than Wick was, I guess, because most
not
of
for sure.
not more Wick's, than the gross most back, more, than
more than Wick.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Right? So, and for a little while, like, he boxed him out at the end there when they won the finals. Like, Wick kind of boxed out Steve a little bit. Yeah. I think Steve probably, like everyone else, again, thought he was going to be the winning bid. He was been a partner with them forever. I mean, it was a fully financed offer. So
I got news for him. I didn't think he was ever going to win the bid. So if he thought so, I don't know what he was thinking, to be honest.
You didn't think so?
No.
He had the highest bid, though. He should have won.
Sure. It turns out Axios said he had the third highest. It was Chisholm, it was another group, and then him.
I wonder,
and so he might have been fully financed and no debt and all these other things, which is what I was going to ask you, but what were you just going
to
say?
I wonder, too, if maybe he didn't agree to the structure of keeping Wick on
he
for
didn't.
3 years.
Wow, there you
Axios,
go.
Right. Axios also reported that.
Yeah,
the only group that did that was Chisholm. So,
but I think that's where Irv comes in, is like, sorry, Wick, like, we're taking the best offer. Like, yeah, it'd be great if you can stick around and play governor for a little bit, but we're taking the most money. It's the reason why we're selling the team. And so that was probably a factor. I'm sure Wick was happy with that it didn't go to Pags.
Yeah.
This is how I read it, but I don't think they're leaving money on the table.
No, I definitely don't.
Yeah.
And my question was going to be, do we think Chisholm can round up the money to do this? Because Pags did have that weird line in his statement and we mocked it. He's like, hey, if it falls through,
yeah, I'm your guy.
Like, is there any part of Pags that you think still believes he can get in there and still wind up with the Celtics?
I think so, because the private equity money really complicates things. Like, the NBA has different restrictions against the private equity money. So we'll see what happens with that. There's still a lot that needs to go down for this to be finalized, which is why I kind of found all the media blitz kind of interesting, because it wasn't done yet. You know what I mean? And like, he was talking everywhere and it was kind of a foregone conclusion, but there's so much that has to still happen for this to go through. So until it's done, until this is completely finalized, then Pags is going to believe he has a chance, because his was fully financed. Like, I think that's a big deal that he had a fully financed offer and they're ready. They have a bid already ready to go. So that doesn't mean if it does fall through that it'll just automatically go to Pags. Like you said, he was the third highest bidder. So, I mean, maybe he goes to the person that was above him. But until this is finalized, and he should feel that way, you can't just back off just because it's believed that it's going to go there, right? They're going to stay in the race. And it does suck for Pags, too, that you spend all this time together, spend all this money with this team, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is your last year. Like, that's
it. We're done.
See ya.
It's like, not your decision at
that's,
all.
That's terrible.
Done.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The other thing that jumped out to me when Wick was talking with Greg and everybody in the morning was thank God for Brad Stevens, meaning Brad Stevens is going to have a real challenge this offseason. He's like, we'll see what he does in June and July. So obviously there's a lot of talk about the second apron and all the luxury tax, all the money that you're paying on top of whatever your payroll is. But he had a line in there about how you can't, the basketball restrictions are too much. He's like, it's not the money. It's the basketball restrictions.
Which is so false.
Well, when you're winning championships and your restrictions are you can't get a mid-level guy who probably wouldn't crack your rotation. You can't do stuff with draft picks and you can't do stuff with like matching. But if your roster's set, shouldn't you just keep paying it?
And that's why I think they're going to do that. I think at least in year one, we'll see what happens down the road. But in year one with Chisholm, I find it hard to believe he's going to come in and just blow this up.
Oh, he'd be an immediate villain. And if he has thick skin, then maybe. But if he doesn't, then yeah, that's probably not your best first move.
It's not like he wasn't aware of this massive historic luxury tax bill when he bought the team. And maybe it's something that him and his other investors looked at like, hey, we're going to have to eat this. Like, we're going to have to just swallow this and deal with the repercussions, because if not, we're going to be hated right away. Like, imagine he comes in and just shifts off, like, Drew Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis. Possibly after they go back-to-back.
Especially if they win two
like,
in a row.
That's
if they
the
win
issue.
Back-to-back and you're like, these guys all want to come back. In fact, these guys are under contract but and we're going to move on from them.
If OKC knocks them off in the finals,
then it's different.
I don't rule off one of those.
If I think it's a little different, though.
If they're back-to-back.
If you win two in a row and everybody's under contract, insane.
You could have said the same thing about last offseason, though. Had they gotten past Miami and went to the finals, Marcus Smart's probably still here.
100%.
Right.
So, no, I'm just saying, I could see him moving pieces as soon as next offseason. If they win, though,
if they
I'm
lose.
With you guys.
Yeah.
You can't do it if you're sitting there going for a Chief Pete. we're about to get into, the Celtics winning three titles in the 80s. No, Celts Pete, what were we calling it the other day?
Oh,
C's Pete.
No, Celtrick.
Celtrick, thank you.
That's good.
That is good.
But we did just get Larry Bird and his first championship in Celtic City, Episode 4, which for all the hating I've done, and they dragged their feet way too long getting to Bird, we finally got what I would consider
awesome.
Like an A-plus,
this is great.
Worth watching type of episode. So what'd you think?
I loved it. I mean, just how competitive Larry Bird was, like, really, really stood out throughout that whole thing. Like,
him and Magic Johnson
genuinely, like, hated each other. Like, the NBA need more stuff like that. They need more rivalries like that.
100% needs more rivalries.
Genuine hatred. Like, I never really understood.
Well, they developed into friends, but at the time, later.
I mean, you need, like, the dream team and, like, everything that happened with Magic by the end. Like, that's what you needed. But, like, on the court, those guys hate each other. The only rivalry now is Isaiah, Beef Stewart, and LeBron James. That's all we got now. There are no rivalries.
There's a significant gap between those two, to say the least.
Well, it's because he ran after him one time.
Yeah. It's our GOAT.
It's the GOAT. For
everybody. Yeah. Well, LeBron also ruined the league because he has no rivals. He wants to be friends with everybody.
LeBron James.
Early on, Pierce and Garnett hated him, and that was good.
Well, he doesn't want to be friends with everybody. He hates Beef Stew.
He does hate Beef Stew. Yeah. That's because Beef Stew hates him, and it probably kills LeBron at night.
I mean, just
like, why did I do to Isaiah Stewart?
The competitive advantage, too, just like across the board. Like when the small detail in there about how the locker rooms would always be like hot or cold.
Yeah.
And the Celtics locker room window open, but Red made sure the visitors
Mikhail took a shot at overrated Red, where he said
Red redeems himself, though, with the back-to-back drafts.
Red the coach overrated.
Okay, fine.
I might have to amend my stance a little bit. trading for Parrish and Mikhail was a decent trade.
That's a good deal.
But, no, and Mikhail's like, he didn't freeze the other team out. He's like, he never worked
we
in that place.
Yeah.
He's like, the only thing that ever happened is when it got so hot, we could open our window in the locker room. The opposing team could not.
I love when they show up to camp Mikhail's first year, and they're at a gym that's worse than the Mountain View Middle School gym I played in Goffstown, New Hampshire. I was like, what is this? Like, he's like, we're the Boston Celtics. It's the NBA. And you're at some college I've never heard of playing on these like tiny little hoops.
Hellenic College in
ridiculous
Brookline, which I was unaware
that's insane.
Of.
It was literally a middle school gym.
I also think of
it had a stage.
It had
the wall of discipline.
Yeah. That's what ML Carr called it. Robert Parrish is like, there was no wall of discipline.
Everyone was on it.
It was a gym of discipline. He was like everywhere we were being disciplined.
So what I do, especially with these like older ones, and I talked about it after episode 3, I think it was, like if there was sports radio or podcasts or even Twitter at the time of like Dave Cowens, what a big deal that would have been. Like, hey, quit the team and I was watching the team from the stands and I was back playing again. Like, what's going on? Like, that would have been a whole thing.
Right.
This early 80s run, and obviously we know the years they won, the years they didn't.
Yeah,
but the details
we know how
about
it ends, right.
Bill Fitch. And they went, Red goes to the team and is like, who wants Bill Fitch back? Everybody says no, except for Larry Bird. And then they get rid of him. That's fascinating. And like, imagine covering that at that time. Well, so, like, if you played it out now, and I don't think it'll happen, but I'm saying the equivalent is Celtics win the title this past year. This year they fall just short. They lose to a good team. The next year they fall just short. Then the year after that, they're like, or after that year, they're like, hey, guys, who wants Mazzulla back? And Tatum's like, I want him back. And everyone else is like, no, he's got to go. Yeah, like, and then they get rid of him.
Teacher's pet.
And then Tatum's like, screw you guys. You don't really, like, pretty wild. But then, obviously, we know they win it in 84, so it ended up kind of working out.
Just all the antics. Like, that stuff, Cedric attacking a fan, and then playing the game, finishing the game.
That is a great.
Like, that's insane.
And he had a great game. They don't win it if it's not for his
right.
game. Yeah.
Danny Ainge getting bitten at the bottom of a pile. Like, imagine any of that stuff happen now. Even a little, we talked about it before, too. Like,
again, Tommy's
doing. I think it was Tommy Heinsohn's doing like an interview when he was still the head coach. He was doing an interview and just like starts lighting a cigarette.
Ripping
like,
darts.
Imagine that stuff.
Yeah. Fucking cigarettes. But also like storming the court was normal, like after a win. So after a win, they just rushed the floor.
They beat Philly with the Bird game winner and people are just all over Bird.
Cedric Maxwell gave a running elbow to a fan in the front row. It stays in the game. Like, all right, guys, cool off. Everybody cool off.
But circling back to like how things would be talked about, WEI didn't exist. But how I would have talked about that team. If you win the title in 81 and then in 82 you come up short, in 84 you're 83 you're swept in round 2 by the Bucks.
By the Bucks.
And you quit on your coach.
Quit?
I'd be like trade Parrish.
It's
trade
wild.
Like talk radio at the time, and it probably was the discussion at the time. You got to blow this up.
Dude, 2 years removed from a title and a 61-win season. It looks like it's your league and you don't even it's one thing if you lose to the Lakers or you lose to Dr. J. You lost to the Bucks,
right?
In the second round,
swept by the Bucks. This is one of the first times too, because one of my critiques of the early episodes was, and it's not like you can do a new interview with Bill Russell or Red Auerbach,
yeah.
But it's like a lot of it is footage we've seen before. Some of the like practice footage and stuff
that was cool.
I don't know that we've ever seen that. Like I
Larry
have
Bird
never
is lighting everybody up.
Bird lighting up Max in a practice. You're like, I've never seen footage like that. So that I'm starting to think there's some actual value to lost footage that's never been seen in this Celtic city, which I appreciate.
I've also thought they've done a really good job of using the archived footage to tell the story. Like the storytelling throughout the whole thing has been pretty incredible.
Yeah, to use like, all right, here's some old Jerry West video. Right. Here's some old, you know, obviously before it's like a lot of Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, Red Auerbach, but now even still, it's some older interviews.
And they
but
did get Jerry West before he passed away, so some of that is.
Oh, for
specifically for this documentary. Yeah. They did get him before. But like just the way they've kind of blended it all together has been really entertaining. And the storytelling from the guys, too. Like, Cedric Maxwell did a great job, like, telling the story about Bird.
Max is the best, yeah.
Bird's first practice. And then they had the footage to accompany it. I'm with you guys. I thought that was the best episode yet.
My thought, too, is when they're showing all, like, the game footage and all, like, the big moments between the Celtics and Sixers or whatever, even their 81 finals. Is Joe Mazzulla must be screaming about not enough threes. Just be like, guys, the line's right there. Because like they make a big deal. They're like, Larry Bird's hit 3 threes today. And you're like, imagine if Larry just decided
Sam Hauser
to shoot
hits
more
like
threes.
8 a night.
Would he trade the threes for the fighting, though?
Ooh, that's a good question.
No, I think you'd want
to keep
the fighting in.
You're right. He's loving it.
So, like, if there's less threes,
hard
you
nips
throw
for all
punches,
the fights that you saw in that
he's
thing.
All
yeah.
in.
Yeah, that might be the one thing he likes more than threes.
All right.
Grapple.
Pure Hoops with Terp every Wednesday here on Jones and Keefe. I enjoyed that episode of Celtic City. You can check out all his work at Justin M. Turpin on Twitter and, of course, WEEI.com. Terp, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, fellas.
Thank you, Terp. All right, we'll get back to your phone calls on Steph Diggs, 617-779-7937. The Patriots finally get their man. We'll get to it right after Trending with Billy Lanny.